Hello once again, everybody, and thank you for joining me here on this Friday, October 18th edition of Bang the Book Radio. My name is Adam Burke, your host for the next hour or so. Let's go over all kinds of things in the world of sports from a betting focus. Happy to have you with me as we wrap up this week here on the show. Two items of business left to take care of. The first, our Week 7 Westgate Super Contest Selection segment. I'll give you my thoughts for Week 7 here in the NFL, update you on the contest, talk about the line differences between the Super Contest and the Circa Million. We'll talk about some of my picks and my leans here for this week's card. Second half of today's show, Brent, the head risk manager down at DSI Sportsbook, will join me for this week's version of the odds report. Sharp money out there in both the college football and the NFL betting markets. I actually recorded that segment first today because of some internet issues. So I can tell you that it was a very interesting, very insightful segment. We talked a little bit about risk management with basketball, with the NBA starting on Tuesday and college basketball starting a couple weeks from Tuesday. So we opened the segment with that. Then we talked about sharp action in both college football and the NFL betting markets. Over at bangthebook.com, we are your one-stop shop for sports betting news and information. Lots of great stuff from our strong cast of writers. Again, power ratings from college football from me, for the NFL from Danny Vorgs, daily NHL picks from Parker Michaels, Admir Aljic working on his NBA preseason stuff. We've got Eastern Conference odds, NBA championship odds, Western Conference odds, MVP. We're going to talk about some live betting tips, talk about betting teasers in the NBA. Lots of different stuff going into our NBA content here. And we're also working through what we'll be doing on a daily basis for the NBA as well as college basketball when that gets underway. Great golf preview this week from James Mazzola. Hopefully you're able to catch that. The Asian swing going on. He'll be previewing those events here as we go through the fall. We've got soccer previews from Admir Aljic, UFC and NASCAR previews from myself. Also, we'll have the NFL and the college football market reports on Friday morning. So you can check those out over at bangthebook.com, highlighting some line moves, kind of forecasting where some of these lines may move on game day. We got a ton of stuff over there at the website, a lot of great resources. Please make sure that you're checking it all out. We also have some free pick videos over on our Bang the Book YouTube page, some from myself, some from Brian Blessing, who you hear every Tuesday on the show. And something else I haven't mentioned in a while, but if you're a regular listener to Bang the Book Radio, you can find us on Spreaker, Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Podbean, TuneIn, SoundCloud, Overcast. Wherever you find your podcast content, you're going to find Bang the Book Radio there. We do have our full shows on iTunes, and I'm sure that they go out on the feed to some of the other places, but also the edited segments as well, where we just got, you know, if you like a certain guest, you just want to listen to that segment, you're a little bit pressed for time, go ahead and do that. Obviously, we hope you listen to everything here with the show, but I just wanted to update you on that here at the top of today's show, the top of today's segment, because there are a lot of different ways to get Bang the Book Radio. So make sure you check it out. Finally, as you know, this and every edition of Bang the Book Radio presented by our friends over at DSI Sportsbook. BTB and the number 200 is that promo code. 100% deposit match bonus for the sportsbook. 100% deposit match bonus for the live casino at BetDSI. It's only a game until you bet it. One other quick reminder here about the other stuff that I write over at the website. First round of the NBA situational betting tips already up for next week's games. And then late Sunday night, early Monday morning, some situational betting tips for the NHL as well. You want to definitely look for those scheduling spots in both of those sports. And we'll do what we can to work in NBA and NHL stuff as we go forward here. And of course, we'll do quite a bit of college basketball. And I know it seems like we're biased toward the college sports here, but it's just that there are so many more games to try and discuss, so many more games to try and figure out that we just kind of gravitate more towards that college side just to try and get a wide, broad spectrum of the different games that are out there. And we try to do as much as we can with the pro leagues as well. And speaking of the pro leagues here, week 7 in the NFL, you'll hear me talk about this a few different times on the segment with Brent here to finish out this week on the show. I do not like this week's NFL card. I know I have a different excuse every week for not liking the NFL card, but this one here, in particular, when you look at the lines in the Circa Million, 5 games sitting right on the key number of 3, 4 games in the Super Contest sitting on the key number of 3. You've got two games here that are under three that have flipped favorites. You've got the one huge favorite and two huge favorites in Buffalo, and then San Francisco going cross country for an early kickoff. You got a lot of games here hovering around the key number of three. So you've got a lot of games where, you know, these teams are fairly comparable. Obviously, you work home field advantage into the equation and stuff like that. But you've got a lot of uncertainty here this week in the NFL. So I found this to be one of the tougher weeks. As I mentioned last week, I was having a hard time narrowing down the card. I did wind up going 3-2 in the Super Contest last week. Now 17-12-1 on the season. Also went 3-2 over in the Circa Million. Didn't have the same five picks. I did swap out the Vikings for the Texans. Wish I would have had both of them, because then I would have went 4-1 in the Circa Million. But over in the Circa Million here, 15-14-1 to open up the season. The bangthebook.com entry for the Super Contest went 2-3, now 17-13. Mine is the Bang the Book podcast entry at 17-12-1. And then over in the Circa Million, our other entry here coming in at 19-10-1. So really good start for that entry over in the Circa Million. And for me here, 3-2 in the Super Contest. And as we look at how the field did last week, 46.55% in the Super Contest, now 50.35% for the season. And keep in mind that 50.35% success rate takes into account the 4 points of line value in that Browns-Jets game in week two, where the Sam Darnold injury news came out either late Wednesday night or early Thursday morning, whenever that was. The line was 4 points lower in the Circa Million, or 4 points higher, I should say, in the Circa Million than it was in the Super Contest. And we've got the field at 50.35% in the Super Contest and 50.22% in the Circa Million. So even with that game where the Browns were taken by the highest number of entries ever, and in the Circa they were taken by just a little bit more than 10% of the field, we still don't have a big discrepancy here in terms of success rate between those two contests. 3 weeks under 50%, 3 weeks over 50% in the Super Contest here so far. 40.16% is the low point. 58.04% is the high point that came in week three. And you can get those numbers every week over at bangthebook.com in our Tuesday recap article. We're not in the Super Contest gold this year, but 44.66% last week, 51.85% now, the success rate for the Super Contest gold for the season. Over in the Circa Million, like I mentioned, 50.22% for the year, 47.13% last week. So a tough week for contestants in both of those fields. We are in the second quarter over in the Circa Million. Remember, the quarter prizes, $143,750 for the best record in each of the four quarters. So you've got weeks 1 to 4, 5 to 8, 9 to 12, and then 13 to 17. Three entries, a perfect 10-0 here through the first 2 weeks. My entry is now currently 7-3. 17-3 was the winning score for the first quarter. So hopefully I can rattle off a 10-0 here and at least put myself in the running for that. As far as line differences, and I do like to talk about these here because I think that they're really interesting and could potentially be very important. The Vikings are -1 in the Super Contest. They're -1.5 in the Circa Million. Packers -4.5 in the Super Contest, -5 in the Circa. 49ers -9.5 at the Westgate, -9 down at Golden Gate, which is where the Circa is in Las Vegas. Titans -2.5 in the Super Contest, 2 in the Circa. Bears -3.5 in the Super Contest, 3 in the Circa, and that's where your fifth game comes in, sitting flat on the key number of 3. But in the Super Contest, we've got 4 of them. So again, the hooks could be very, very key here this week. And like I said, you know, I don't really like a whole lot on this NFL card. I struggled to find 3 picks to talk about in the segment and a handful of leans. If you're in any sort of contests or pools, and I know that a lot of people, you know, they're not willing to pony up the $1,500 for the Super Contest or the $1,000 for the Circa, but they want to get into a $100 pool with their friends or something like that. If you're in one of these pools that uses the Super Contest, and you're also in a similar situation where you look at the card and go, you know what, I don't really like anything. I'm not really sure what to take here. Look for line value. especially if you don't like the card, look for line value. You know, go look at your odds screen and see that, you know, some of these games may have moved around. For example, the Packers are -4.5 in the Super Contest. They're 5.5 out there, pretty much market wide. So, again, we've talked about this on the show before, and Ralph Michaels mentioned this, that 5 has become a pretty key number in the NFL with missed extra points and 2-point conversions and all that type of thing. So there may be some equity in the difference between 4.5 and 5.5. So if you can't find 5 games that you like, and I'm not saying you have to take the Packers here, I'm just illustrating this as an example. If you can't find 5 games that you like, that's a game that's off a full point from the market. So maybe you make that your 5th game, kind of play on that line value a little bit. We'll see if that's something I wind up doing here with the leans that are on my card. But again, it's important to look at some of these things, you know, because you may not like games. You may not like enough games week in and week out. That's where the line value comes into play. And again, a lot of people out there for the NFL say that they bet numbers and not teams anyway. So, you know, maybe the difference between the Bears at 3.5 in the Super Contest and at 3 in the Circa, that possibility of a push, you know, if you're playing a pool with Circa lines or you're in the Circa Million, maybe you take the Bears here this week at the 3 if you don't like anything else, because you're not laying that 3.5. You're getting that half point of value that could come into play. I mean, a half point is better than no point. And that's something, you know, again, obviously you'll get this from the other side more often than not. But, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I didn't take Baltimore in the Circa Million because they were 3.5. I took them in the Super Contest at 3, and they were the push, the one push that I have here on the season so far. So, again, line value, the equity around those key numbers with those half points, very, very important to say the least, especially in a market as tight and as efficient as the NFL. So if you're ever having a hard time this week or in any subsequent weeks, look for some of that line value. Try to use that to your advantage and fill out your card that way if there aren't enough games that you like. So here we go. We move into the games that I do like here for week 7. Again, recording this on Thursday evening. So things may change with the injury reports. Maybe weather reports get a little bit clearer, something like that. So again, these are games that are very likely to be picks on my card, and then a list of leans that will probably round out my card here. Again, like I said, recording on Thursday night, so some of these things can change a little bit. But we start with number 3 here by Super Contest rotation order. That is the New York Football Giants. They're a 3-point favorite against the Arizona Cardinals. Cardinals off of a win, and maybe a win that they shouldn't have gotten. You know, who knows what happens if Matt Bryant was able to make some extra points. But now they make a long trip east for an early kickoff against the Giants. The Giants injury report looking a lot better here. Extra rest, of course, coming off the Thursday night game. And really for me, along with the Giants looking healthier, and that's obviously a very important thing, a lot of skill position guys likely to come back and help Daniel Jones out a little bit. But when you look at the Giants here the last 2 weeks, the Patriots and the Vikings have been the two defenses that they have faced. Patriots allowing 4.1 yards per play, Vikings allowing 4.8 yards per play, the Cardinals allowing 6.3 yards per play. So a much better matchup for the Giants offense here this week. The Giants have had turnover problems. I completely agree with that stance. The Cardinals only have 3 takeaways this season. So aside from the injuries, the turnovers have been the biggest issue for the Giants. They're facing a team that doesn't take the football away. So that's going to help the Giants here. You know, the Cardinals are not a team that really does a whole lot in terms of generating turnovers or negative plays. They blitz a lot. If you look at the most frequent blitzing defenses, they're up there in the top 10, but the blitz doesn't get there. They've allowed the 4th most air yards passing on the season. So they blitz a lot. They don't get there. The secondary is not nearly what it used to be with some of the losses that they've experienced over the last couple of years. So they're giving up 6.3 yards per play. They only have 3 takeaways. Daniel Jones has got some talent at the skill positions here. I think the Giants can move the football. And of course, the big question is, can they score? Well, the last 2 weeks here, the Giants played the Patriots, who are allowing points on 6.3% of opponents' possessions. 6.3. By the way, the Patriots are a regression candidate, and I will touch on that a little bit later in the segment, but that's astonishing. Only 6.3% of their possessions against ending in points. And then the Vikings, 26.6%. So opponents, basically worded another way, opponents are not scoring 73.4% of the time against the Vikings. Against the Cardinals, though, they're scoring about half the time. The Cardinals allowing points on 49.2% of their opposing possessions. So the Giants are going to move the football better, and they should have a chance to put up points here in this game. And even the Giants defense, which all of us have taken pot shots at over the course of the season, they're only allowing points on 38.2% of opponents' possessions. So I like the Giants here quite a bit. This is probably my favorite pick of week 7 here in the Super Contest. David Johnson's not 100%. Christian Kirk is still hobbled. I think this is a bad spot for the Cardinals, and the Giants are really getting a much more comparable opponent here. Maybe an opponent that you could say that they're better than. And again, with the Cardinals allowing points on about 50% of their possessions, I like the Giants here -3 in the Super Contest for this week. They are rotation number 3 out there for the contest here on Sunday. Also taking a look at the Jacksonville Jaguars, number 13 in the Super Contest rotation order. They're a 3.5-point favorite here against the Cincinnati Bengals. And, you know, I was on the Jaguars last week, and they just got shut down by the Saints defense. And I'll talk about that here again in a couple of minutes. But I get it. It's hard to lay road prices with the Jaguars. But look at this team here on the season. Even though the defense has really struggled, the defense has fallen off considerably from where the Jacksonville defense used to be. They are still on the plus side, albeit barely, in yards per play differential. So that gives you an idea of how well they're moving the football. And I would anticipate that this team should get better here over the course of the season on defense. Jacksonville only has 2 takeaways on the season here. But even with that, opponents are only scoring on 34.8% of their possessions against Jacksonville. So they are 32nd in turnovers. They are dead last. But they are 12th in percentage of opponents' possessions ending in a score. The Bengals have turned the football over 11 times here so far. So if the Jaguars are able to get some of those takeaways, they can move the football. They're averaging about 6 yards per play here on the season so far. So if they start to generate some more of those turnovers, and the Bengals could certainly give that up to them, they could do a very good job here offensively in this game. And even without the takeaways, still 12th in percentage of opponents' possessions ending in a score at 34.8% is very, very strong for that Jacksonville defense. So they're giving up yards. They're bending, but they're not fully breaking. And that should be enough here against a team like the Bengals. Also, when you look at Jacksonville so far, some really tough spots for them this season. In week 1, they faced a healthy Patrick Mahomes. It's nearly impossible to stop a healthy Patrick Mahomes. In week 2, they played the Texans. It was just before the Texans got hot. You know, Deshaun Watson, obviously a world-class quarterback. We're seeing that here this year. So not a great spot for them there in that one. Titans on Thursday night, that was a nice win for Jacksonville there in that one. They escaped against the Broncos, but the Broncos are better than an 0-4 team at that point in time. And of course, as we've seen here, Denver with back-to-back impressive wins over the Chargers and the Titans. In their 5th game, Jacksonville ran into the Carolina Panthers as they got hot. Kyle Allen's been really good for them. He's been a big upgrade to Cam Newton. And then last week, the Saints defense has been dominant the last 3 weeks. And they've won games in spite of Teddy Bridgewater because of how dominant that defense has been. So when you look at Jacksonville here on the season, they've kind of been up against it in one way or another just about every week except for that Titans game. So I think this is a really good spot for them. They're coming down in class in a very, very big way. They're finally playing a game where they are clearly the better team. The Bengals secondary is very, very banged up. Drake Kirkpatrick is out. William Jackson probably going to be out as well. And the Jaguars here, top 5 in pressure percentage. So again, if they start to force some of those turnovers, this defense is going to look a whole lot better. But they're top 5 in pressure percentage. The Bengals have allowed 22 sacks. Everything lines up here for me to like Jacksonville this weekend. So number 13, the Jacksonville Jaguars, -3.5 on my Super Contest card here for week 7. The last game here that's going to be listed as a very likely pick is number 26, the Philadelphia Eagles. They're plus 2.5. And, you know, what's interesting is that the Super Contest lines came out on Wednesday night. The Circa Million lines came out on Thursday. At the time that these lines came out, the Eagles were still plus 3 market wide, but they came out plus 2.5 in the Super Contest and the Circa Million. And we do see some opinion put into play here from the Westgate and from the Circa with the lines that they put out, just expecting numbers to move that way. Obviously it was a little bit of foreshadowing. So hopefully you were able to get a 3 out there in the marketplace. And yeah, I wish this one was 3, but look, the Dallas Cowboys are going in reverse here. Jason Garrett's just taking more and more responsibility away from his coordinators, especially from Kellen Moore. It has to be awful to be Kellen Moore right now. You know, the offense looked so good the first 3 weeks. Yeah, they played some cupcakes, but they were stunningly efficient. A lot of motion, a lot of play action, a lot of confusion created in the opposing secondary. None of that's happening anymore. None of that has been a thing over the last few weeks. It's obvious that the players do not like Jason Garrett. We've all seen that GIF or that video clip of the players not even acknowledging Garrett as they came off the field. And ownership really seems to have its head in the sand. Remember when Ezekiel Elliott was holding out earlier on in the season and Jerry Jones was like, F that guy, we don't need him. You know, we've got Tony Pollard or, you know, whoever it is that they have. And then last week, Stephen Jones comes out and says, well, we usually win when Ezekiel Elliott gets 30 touches. No, that's not the right way to look at this. You win when Elliott gets 30 touches because you're protecting a lead. Last week, they weren't protecting a lead. They were getting taken to the woodshed by the Jets for the majority of that game. It was not a good look for Dallas last week. They really struggled at the point of attack once again, and they've got some substantial injury concerns here going into this game. Obviously, the Eagles have had a lot of injury concerns over the course of the season. Lots of different skill position guys being out. But in this game here, for Dallas, Amari Cooper's not 100%. He may not even play. Michael Gallup, he doesn't have any Gallup. He doesn't have that extra step that he needs this year to create separation. The entire secondary for Dallas on the injury report here, it seems. Both tackles likely to be out. Tyrone Crawford on the defensive line is out. A lot of key injuries for the Cowboys here. And you can overcome injuries in the NFL if you've got depth, if you've got the coaching, and if you've got the scheme. Dallas, to a degree, maybe has the depth. They don't have the coaching, and they don't have the scheme. So I like the Eagles here this week. Hey, you look at Dallas. They went 3-0 against the Giants, Redskins, and Dolphins. Those three teams are 3-14 combined on the season here so far. Eagles are scoring on a higher percentage of possessions than their opponents. The Cowboys are giving up the fourth highest number of yards after the catch. And what do we know about Doug Peterson and that Andy Reid type of style of offense? It's really predicated on yards after the catch. It's about putting the ball in space to your skill position guys and letting them go to work. Dallas has missed some tackles. Dallas has not been great in the secondary. And so many injuries here in the back seven, on the offense, on the offensive line. Dallas just isn't the team that we saw early on in the season. This is a square pick. This is very clearly the public side here in this one, taking Philadelphia. And you would think that would be a little bit of a surprise after how poor they played last week against the Vikings. But the Vikings just had a great passing game. Kirk Cousins kind of had an out-of-body experience against a good team. I don't think that Philadelphia can be exploited in the same way by Dallas. So give me the Eagles here. Number 26 in the Super Contest rotation order, plus the 2.5. So the three very likely plays for me, Giants minus 3, Jaguars minus 3.5, Eagles plus 2.5. So, of course, as you know, 5 plays in the Super Contest. Got to find a couple more here. This is my current list of leans and a lot of moving parts here in the NFL this week. So maybe there are some games that I may have some different takes on as we go throughout Friday. But one of them I'm looking at here, the Indianapolis Colts are a 1-point favorite against Houston. And Houston's playing really, really well. I mean, the Texans have fixed their offensive line protections. Deshaun Watson's playing extremely well. Obviously, you've got J.J. Watt on defense, and he's just a game changer and a world-class type of athlete. But I've got a lot of respect for Frank Reich as a planner and as a preparer. And he's got the week off here to take a look at the Texans, try and throw some different things at Deshaun Watson. And I get it. Schematically, this game is not great for the Colts. They don't get a whole lot of pressure. You know, can they cover Deshaun Watson's wide receivers? Maybe. It's tough to say because Indianapolis is healthier now than they really have been at any other point in the season. T.Y. Hilton's been banged up. Darius Leonard's missed 3 weeks with a concussion. Malik Hooker remains out. That's a big loss in a game like this. But they're finally a little bit healthier. And real quietly here, the Colts are fifth in points per drive. Now, the Texans are third. Indianapolis doesn't want this game to become a track meet. But when you look at a blueprint for success, look at what the Colts did against the Chiefs a couple of weeks ago before the bye. They ran the football. They kept it away from Patrick Mahomes. And they took advantage of a lackluster defense. Now, Houston's defense is not as bad as Kansas City's, but it's still not great. It's not a great unit here. So if Indianapolis takes that same game plan with a healthier cast of characters on both sides of the ball, with Frank Reich having extra time to prepare, with some young coordinators having some extra time to prepare, the Colts are the side for me here. I do like them minus one. We'll see if they ultimately make the Super Contest card, but they are on my short list of leans here. Number five, the Indianapolis Colts, minus one. I don't know if I can do this, but I may be able to. The Buffalo Bills are a 17-point favorite over the Miami Dolphins. They are number seven in the Super Contest rotation order. Brian Flores last week said that they were going to plan for the future with Josh Rosen. He was going to be their guy. Well, now it's Ryan Fitzpatrick again. It's a shit show in South Florida. There's really no other way to put it than it's just a complete and utter disaster. It is a catastrophe. By design, by and large. This is what Miami wanted. They wanted to tank for Tua. They're probably going to get him. You know, who knows? They could tank for Trevor if Tua doesn't work out with the way that they're currently going. But this is what they wanted. You've got a Bills team here that has an elite defense, one of the best defenses in the NFL. They're off a bye. I think it's a well-timed bye to give that defense a blow, to give Josh Allen a chance to shake off any other loose cobwebs from the concussion. I think it was a great time for a bye here for the Buffalo Bills. Now, they don't blitz a lot. And we have seen that the Dolphins have given up a ton of sacks so far this season. So maybe Buffalo will try to blitz a little bit more here in this game. I think that is something that could help them. But look, this is a Dolphins team that up until the backdoor cover in the fourth quarter last week, they had 3 points in three quarters against the Redskins. And the Redskins are just not a good team. They had fired their coach on Monday. That's a real bad look for Miami. Again, they got within the number, but still, the garbage time 13 points doesn't really impress me very much. Only their second road game of the season. They lost to the Cowboys 31-6. Got outgained by almost 200 yards. The obvious concern here is that Buffalo is maxed out at 28 points this season. How many points do they need to score to cover this number? If they get to 28, they cover the number as far as I'm concerned. And this is a Bills team that will not want to give up a lot of points. If they're shutting out the Dolphins like so many teams have here this season, they're going to vie for that shutout. They're going to want that goose egg, especially against Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, of course, they're very familiar with from his time in Buffalo. So I think this game has a little bit more of a personal level to it for the Bills now that Fitzpatrick's getting the start. Who knows? Maybe that's part of the, you know, master plan there for Miami to tank and let Buffalo take its pot shots at Fitzpatrick. I don't know. But I think the Bills can cover this number. I think if they get to a point where the Dolphins are in single digits, I think they can cover the number. So Bills minus 17, again, a very large number with what appears to be kind of a marginal offense. I still think that the Bills may end up being the right side there in that game. So we'll see if I decide to add them. Obviously, a big degree of risk with a big double-digit favorite like that, but something I am considering here a little bit. Number nine, the Minnesota Vikings. They're a one-point favorite in the Super Contest here, and really, this would just be more of a spot play. A tough loss for the Lions on Monday Night Football. Seems like it would be a challenge to bounce back. Lions allowing the fewest yards after catch this season. But still, you've got Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs, who are two very, very good route runners, guys that can get out in the open. Lions allowing over 5 yards per carry here against the Minnesota offense. That's not particularly good. A short week, a quick turnaround for Matthew Stafford and the back issues that he had coming into the season. So Vikings minus one on my short list. It's not one of my favorites here of the leans, but still one that I'm going to do a little bit more digging into and also see, of course, some potential important injuries with Darius Slay and Quandre Diggs in the secondary here for Detroit. I think both of those guys do play, but Slay's been on the injury list almost every week this season. The one less day to heal and prepare for this game. So Vikings minus one on my short list here, a game I am kind of considering. Finally, number 28, the New York Jets on Monday Night Football plus 9.5. Just a different look and a different feel last week with Sam Darnold. They looked a lot more confident, looked a lot more competitive. The Patriots, again, there has to be some regression here at some point. Like I just mentioned, they've given up points on less than 7% of the opponent's possessions. That's going to regress. I mean, that's a number that can't stick around. I mean, that's beyond elite. That's historic. I don't think that's going to be the case. And offensively here, the Patriots have only scored on 37.8% of their drives. That ranks 15th in the NFL. They're only 10th in points per drive. So can they cover with some margin here? Can they go out there and win by double digits on the road? They can. But the Jets look a little bit different here with Darnold back. The defense has played better than I think most people realize. And the Patriots, not prolific on offense. So if that defense does experience some regression, as I would expect, Jets may be pretty live to cover this number here on Monday night. So again, the three picks for me this week, Giants minus three, Jaguars minus 3.5, Eagles plus 2.5. The list of leans here, at least as of right now, Colts minus one, Bills minus 17, Vikings minus one, and the Jets plus 9.5. Make sure you check out our Saturday Super Contest article and also our Circa Million article over at bangthebook.com with our picks, with the consensus pick counts, and of course a run-through of the spreads here for this week in those two football handicapping pools. We got one more guest, one more segment here for this week on Bang the Book Radio. That is with Brent, the head risk manager down at DSI Sportsbook, for this week's version of the Odds Report. Sharp money in both the college football and the NFL betting markets. A good segment there, lots of fun, lots of good insights. So hopefully you enjoy it here with Brent from DSI Sportsbook. All right, I'm joined now by Brent, the head risk manager down at DSI Sportsbook, for this week's version of the Odds Report. Brent, how's it going today, man?
Well, I'm not gonna lie to you and say it's a balmy sunny day, but it's actually the daytime was today, but it is kind of clouded over and rainy right now. I think we talked about before how, like, basically we have two seasons down here. You've got the warm, dry season, and then you've got the green or wet season. So right now we're in, if you know what you might want to call winter. But the thing is, it's like still, I mean, today, like Celsius wise, it was like 28, 29 degrees, you know, today. And then around like 3 o'clock, it clouds up, which is, it's kind of nice because it's almost like clockwork that, you know, like around 2 o'clock, it might cloud up, around 3 o'clock, it might rain a bit. So it's kind of nice. I mean, yeah, people miss the four seasons, stuff like that. But I don't know, I kind of like knowing it's not going to rain in the morning.
When's the last time you saw the leaves changing colors?
Oh, geez. Long time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, the thing is that happens obviously in fall, and obviously fall is the crazy time of year down here. So yeah, I haven't seen that in a while.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know, so you can take your two seasons and your heat and humidity, and I'll take the nice couple of weeks of fall before the snow starts to fly and everybody gets miserable. But speaking of miserable and dreary and gloomy and everything else, the NBA starts on Tuesday. 2 weeks after that, college basketball starts. And I guess the weather conditions kind of sum up your mood about the start of basketball season.
Well, at least, you know, weather doesn't come into play with basketball. Actually, I'm going to say it's kind of like, wait a second, it has sometimes. I mean, haven't we had like, you know, was it buses don't make it to games sometimes with college teams and leaky roofs and stuff like that on the court? So I guess weather does affect pretty much every sport.
Yeah, I guess so. So when we talk basketball, specifically we'll talk the NBA here for just a couple of minutes, again, because that starts on Tuesday. But, you know, we talk a lot of football here, and obviously with football, you've got multiple days to balance the books. You've got different waves of action, different limits at different times. How is the process different when you talk about something like the NBA or college basketball, where, you know, the games are more frequent throughout the week?
Yeah, no, it is very different. I mean, I'm I'm surprised we didn't have this conversation when the hockey season started, but I'm just going to assume that you kind of, that was just a misstep on your part, and what applies to NBA kind of applies to NHL, because there are kind of games where you're talking similar travel and same, similar in terms of back-to-back stuff, whether you don't have that quite as much with the NHL, but it is a different, you know, way in terms of managing risk, simply because, yeah, you've got the overnight lines that are, you know, basically the next day. You don't have a week to kind of massage lines and balance action and kind of like stuff with injuries and that. It's almost instant. Like, you know, you've got a game on Monday night and there's a game on Tuesday as well with the same team. Any injuries that happen on Monday night are immediately going to affect your Tuesday game, where, you know, a Sunday injury in NFL, you might not find out until like Wednesday, maybe Thursday, if that's going to affect the guy the following Sunday. So that's a couple of the ways where things are different from, football in general. The thing too, I mean, specifically with NFL, I mean, there really is more influential money in the NFL markets. And I say influential, that can be, you know, square money as well as sharp money. NFL basically is that one sport where so many public people bet it that they can influence the market. You don't say that much about any sports. Definitely not about college basketball and not NBA either. Yes, there is, you know, more public money involved in NBA than college basketball, of course. But still, it's not enough that's really going to affect the markets. But, you know, NFL is that one sport where, yeah, I mean, you do get more, you know, you get so much public money involved that it can affect your numbers, you know, especially when we're talking about games where sharps haven't come involved yet. You really don't have a position or, you know, you don't have an indication of where the sharp money is or where the line's going to go. You just kind of have to act based on the action you get, whether it comes from a sharp guy or, a public customer.
Well, and in college football and the NFL too, I mean, scores are traditionally by, you know, 3, 6, and 7. In the NBA, it's by 1, 2, and 3. So in terms of moving lines around, in terms of managing your risk that way, you know, what's sort of the, you know, operating procedure for moving lines around in the NBA or college basketball?
Yeah, obviously we're more aggressive on you know, these numbers, basically because of the nature of scoring. Like, you don't want to, you know, sitting on the NFL in particular, you don't have a need to kind of sit on a 3 or a 7 and, you know, juice something up to like 3-120 or what have you, because of that, you know, it being a quote unquote key number. So obviously it makes it a little bit easier in terms of you have to, you know, you can kind of avoid those situations where, oh, I got to hang on a key number and stuff like that, or you know, I got bet so much on that and it's, you know, X number, you know, percentage of times the number lands on that. So you kind of throw that out the window. And of course, totals, instead of a game talking, you know, say, you know, 45 and a half, you're talking about games that are like 213 and a half. So obviously moving totals as well, you can say, you know, really significant moves on totals and stuff like that as well. So you can be a lot more aggressive with NBA. You don't have to hold on to key numbers and stuff like that. So it's a little bit nicer in that way. But then again, you don't have, you know, as much action on those games. The market isn't completely involved, you know, all of the market on all the games. You kind of got select games where you might get good action on, like, say, a TNT game or an ESPN game at night. But there's no real equivalent to like a Sunday night, Thursday night, Monday night game in the NBA.
Well, and I mean, obviously we joke and we talk in jest a little bit here about the NBA and college basketball, but also it's just, it's a lot of work for a much smaller handle than what you're going to see in football. So that's kind of why, you know, it's not exactly a couple of beloved markets for the odds makers and risk managers.
Yeah. And oftentimes, I mean, you know, in NFL in particular, you kind of have a good feel in terms of, or an anticipation of, if I go to this number, I feel confident that I might get something back, just because there's so many sharps involved in that market. And also there's so much public money involved in that market, and guys will just, you know, take a number because it's the best on the board. You just don't get that in NBA.
All right, well, let's get back into football here then. I'm sure we'll have plenty of time to talk college basketball later on, especially, you know, as we get closer to the NCAA tournament, talk a little bit more about some futures exposure and things of that sort. But we go to the college football side here, and in fact, we've got a Friday night game to discuss. We haven't had too many of these here this season, to my recollection, but we've got the late game here, game 3:15, 3:16, UNLV and Fresno State.
Yeah, it's interesting. For whatever reason, we haven't had a chance to talk about Friday night games much this season, but this one does jump out with the sharps involved, and not a great game on paper in terms of, like, I think UNLV is 2-4, Fresno State 2-3 or whatever. But the records might be close, but the spread here is not. I did get bet on the favorite already at -14. I think it opened as low as 13.5. I got hit at -14 by sharp money. This number is up to 16 pretty much across the board. I haven't seen anyone touch 16.5 yet. I think I saw one book hovering around 15.5, but I'm on the high end at minus 16 because I have both sharp money at minus 14 and, you know, a public count of about 2-1 also favoring Fresno State. So sharps and public going the same way on this game. It's, you know, maybe interesting to note or not, the total on this one has ticked down. I mean, I opened 54.5 and this number has gone down to 53. I think there's some 52.5 out there as well. So the total is trending down, even though the spread is going higher. And when you're talking, you know, double digit, you know, numbers like this, usually they kind of coincide in terms of the over going with the favorite, but not the case here.
Yeah, and in fact, I've seen a lot of those games here this week. I'm sure obviously you have as well, managing risk on these games. And, you know, I was talking with a buddy of mine. He did mention that there are a lot of games this week where weather could be a factor, but you've got games like Tulsa and Cincinnati. We got a 17-point spread and a total down from 51 to 47.5. There are several games that kind of fit that mold. New Mexico and Wyoming, 19.5, total down from 54 to as low as 48.5 out there. Arizona State, Utah, another one, almost a 2-touchdown favorite. Totals come down 4.5 points this week. That just seems like the theme for one reason or another. Totals coming down in games with big favorite numbers.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really get involved in terms of, you know, why the numbers move the way they do, because that's kind of you kind of have to read the mind of the sharp guys driving the markets and, you know, where they're, you know, what they're thinking and what their thought process is, which I can't really get into just because I can't read their minds, obviously. But yeah, I mean, you've got a lot of the markets, you know, games like that. And again, it could be a case where you've got like teams who are like traditionally strong defensively who just, you figure are just far superior. And yeah, they're going to, you know, they should dominate. Maybe they're going to run the ball a lot and dominate. You're going to eat up a lot of clock, and maybe their defense is so strong you think, you know, they might hold the other team to 10 points or a touchdown or what have you.
Well, and speaking of that, something I asked you about last year, but it's a good time to ask about this once again here. We're getting into late October. We're getting into bad weather. When you talk about totals movement based on weather forecasting, do you guys adjust based on how things look, or do you just kind of let the market do what it's going to do based on what they're reading about the weather conditions?
Yeah, I mean, we do have handicappers we work with who kind of, you know, help us out in terms of massaging the number, if you will, in terms of, you know, where we want to open up and where we, you know, one of the key things I think I talked about last week was a lot of what we do in terms of risk management is kind of anticipating where the number is going to go and anticipating where your customers are going to bet. That's kind of like one of the keys to the risk management. It's not, I mean, the opening number is key, and the less you have to, have to move a number once it's open, the better off you are long term. But still, you kind of, some numbers may open a certain way. You don't want to be too far off the market, but you have a kind of profile of your customer base and where they're betting, and you have a feel for where the number is going to go. So those things do come into play when you're talking weather. You know, I think most often, you know, what comes into play is wind. I think people underestimate the value of wind because wind obviously really affects passing attacks for both sides.
All right, so we move here to a Saturday game, another one with a little bit of a total moving down, although it's sharp action on the side here that we're going to discuss in game 317-318. First game on the board for Saturday, Duke and Virginia. What's going on here?
This is kind of like a big game, it kind of seems, Duke and Virginia here. You had a couple of teams sitting at 4-2, I think. This number was as high. I think it opened at 3.5 and got bet up. Came right back down though with the Duke money, sharp money on Duke plus 4.5. I'm down to 3 minus 115 on the home side, Virginia. So this one's gone all the way down to 3. You know, cross 4 like nothing. And it's interesting on this one, I do have a wager count favoring Virginia as well. So you see the number has dropped from the 4.5 where the sharps grabbed it down to 3 minus 115 on the favorite there, Virginia. Yet the public is with Virginia. So that's a strong indication from my end that, yeah, you know, that the sharp money that I got is accurate, and it's also reflected in the market, because not only did I get bet here, but that's obviously transpired in you know, across the board with everyone sitting at 3 minus 115, even some 3 flats right now. So a sharp public split, if you will, in the college football here with the sharp money on Duke plus 4.5 and the public going the other way with Virginia.
Do you see a 2.5 coming here?
No, I mean, right now we're sitting 3 minus 115. And like I said, I don't think the sharps are going to come back on Duke at plus 3. They kind of, you know, would have grabbed the 4.5 and 4, which is probably even 3.5, which dropped this number all the way down to where it is right now. I kind of suspect that someone else got hit there at plus 4 or even at plus 3.5. That's why the number's gone down to 3 and it's held steady, because I think the reflection of the public money I have with a wager count of 2-1 favor of Virginia is probably out there, you know, market wide. So you're getting public support on Virginia. If you don't have to move off the 3, why would you?
All right, so we jump down here to game 341, 342, NC State and Boston College. Boston College, pretty big quarterback news here with Anthony Brown out for this game, and I believe the next several weeks, if I'm not mistaken. That kind of leads us to where the sharp actions come in on this game.
Yeah, I mean, this hasn't been a substantial move yet, but it was kind of like, you know, it's obviously 3-7. Adam, they're not as key numbers in college football as they are in the NFL. But -2.5 is where I took sharp money on NC State. Again, we're same price. We're at the 3 -115, much like we are with Virginia, just kind of the other way. Instead of the number coming down, the number is going up. Now, this one here, I don't really have, you know, a count one way or another. I'm pretty much even on this one. So I'm 3 -115. Sharp money came at -2.5. You know, the market completely across the board is -3, -115. So if anything, if you ask me on this game, could I see 3.5 on this one? Maybe, simply because I don't have anything kind of pulling the market back on Boston College. Now, do I think that 3.5 might be the, you know, the number that sharps come back the other way? You kind of don't know until you throw it out there. But for right now, my count's pretty much even. So I'm not in a bad spot. Just the one initial bet from the sharps at -2.5. The game lands 3 is not terrible for us. So right now I'm going to hold off where we are. If the market goes up, we'll go with them.
All right, so we jump down the board here once again, a pretty long way. Game 401-402, Iowa State and Texas Tech. And I feel like week after week, Brent, we talk about Iowa State here on the segment.
Yeah, it's interesting too. I mean, they've always seemed to be one of those teams who kind of underperforms when they're supposed to win, and they kind of overachieve when they're not supposed to win. At least for us, you know, on my side, they seem like a tough nut to figure out, and that's been going back for a couple of years. They've been like that for us. This line did open as low as 5.5. I got hit on the favorite Iowa State on the road -6. So you got a road favorite here getting the action in this game. Iowa State on the road at Texas Tech. I've got a sharp and public split here, as I do have a wager count of about 2-1 favoring Texas Tech. Sharp money on Iowa State was at -6. I'm -7 flat right here. I do see a -7, -115 out there as well. So it looks like, you know, this not just here where we got bet on this. We're holding solid at 7 right now. Like I said, I got the count favoring Texas Tech. So hopefully we don't have to move, you know, budge off the 7 right now, and that'll work fine for us, getting the sharp money at -6 and public money going the other way at 6.5 and 7. So right now, not too bad money wise. Count going 2-1 the other way, sharp money Iowa State, public the other way on Texas Tech.
So really, the only way you move off 7 here would be sharp money on the Texas Tech side.
Yeah, for me. But I mean, you also have to look at things in this way, in that even if I'm getting money the other way on Texas Tech, if the entire market moves up to 7.5, and let's make the assumption that it's sharp money driving the market, as I've got public money here on Texas Tech and other books probably do as well. So the number did go to 7.5 and I hang a 7. Now all of a sudden I'm making, you know, I'm making Iowa State more attractive, and I already got bet, you know, -6 on Iowa State by a sharp guy. So you definitely don't want to, you know, have a more attractive price on a team that you already got bet by sharp money. So if the market went 7.5, I don't want to hang low on them. I want to go with them.
Well, and that's always interesting too, because there are some shops out there, and most notably there are shops in Las Vegas, some of the brick and mortars, that will dig in and will take positions based on some of their own thoughts on a game. Is that something you'll do if the market goes to 7.5? You're going to say, you know what? I like the other side anyway. I'm going to stay 7.
It's not so much... It doesn't happen as much in college football. In NFL, yes, we do, you know, we do that more often, simply because it's down, you know, it's a book to book situation in terms of having a profile of your customers and what's going to work and where you think a number is going to go. I mean, I can usually look at the NFL slate and say, okay, my count's going to be roughly 2-1 on this game, 5-1 on this game. Our guys are going to bet the over on this one. Even if I go, you know, a half point higher than the market, or open a half point higher, they'll probably drive that number up to, you know, a full point higher. So you kind of have a good feel in terms of where your customers are going to go just by profiling them and kind of looking at games. And every different game, based on the volume you're going to track, you have a different risk profile for it as well. I mean, we're going to be in a different position in terms of handle and what our account's going to be like both ways, and what our position is going to be like on a game like, say, Philadelphia Dallas versus a game like Miami and Buffalo.
All right, so we jump down here to one of the marquee games in college football this weekend. There are really only two really marquee games, Oregon, Washington being one, Michigan and Penn State being the other one. And again, I say marquee game, but you and I have talked about this before, and we've talked about it a lot here on the show. A lot of these top 25 type games still with big spreads here this season. That's the case here with Michigan and Penn State.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of, you know, I always you know, it's always nicer if we can talk about these big, you know, marquee games, as you mentioned, but they just, you know, the Sharps are going to play play what the Sharps play, and I can't kind of go fishing for Sharp action that's not out there, so I can only refer to what we've taken here. This game here, yeah, it's interesting. I've got Sharp money both on the favorite and the over, which is typically a kind of public spot to be. The total is different in this case, though, in that it's weird. I've got public money favoring the under, which you just hardly ever see, but that is the case here with Sharp money on Penn State -7.5. Also Sharp money on the over 45.5. So the 7.5 on Penn State at home has gone to -9 right now, and the total as well has gone up to 47 from the over 45.5. Now, again, the initial money on the total came at 45.5, and we touched 47, and again, is kind of strange that public money is going, you know, favoring the under, but it's almost like 4-1 favoring the under, just a strange spot, just because public generally likes to, you know, just the profile is that, okay, well, the public's going to want to bet for scoring, so they're going to bet the over. But this is one of those games where they, typically think about like smash mouth kind of football. It's going to be back and forth, running game, blah, 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 eat up a lot of clock. So it kind of doesn't surprise me when you look at it that way that the public is betting the under. So, I wouldn't be surprised if the number ticked down a bit to like maybe 45 or 46.5 from the 45.5, but just 47 seemed like a high number. I know it's not like, okay, 45.5 to 47. It's not like a massive move on a total, but I just feel that number might come down. And I think I'll probably get, decent two-way action on the side as well, sitting at -9 we are right now. I'm getting, since I've gone to 9, I've got, kind of bit of buyback from Michigan. It seems to be working that way. My count on the side is 4-1, though. So the initial action was all Penn State at 9. I'm starting to get some back the other way, though.
Well, and I think what's really interesting here we try to encourage our listeners to look for the context clues. This number opened 7.5 with a total in the mid-40s, probably thought that was a pretty good number to balance some action. And yet, as you mentioned, 4-1 at the outset, sharp money on Penn State. For our listeners out there, when you see an opener north of a key number with a total that's, relatively low for college football in a big game like this, it says a lot. And I think it is very surprising to see this line going up, but again, obviously some very influential money on Penn State.
Yeah, and the thing too, like I talked about, with referring to NFL, you kind of have to have a risk profile for each game. Now, you don't go through every single game and kind of break it down that way, but you kind of cluster games in terms of the amount of action you expect to take and kind of what your risk position and your risk tolerance is for that game. Obviously, this game is going to attract a ton of betting volume and betting attention, so you kind of, you can be, you sit back a little bit more knowing that you're going to get a whole lot more action, and you generally speaking, there's going to be a lot of action coming in on Saturday before this game, and also kind of right before kickoff, getting a ton of volume from people who kind of bet the early games, going to get involved in this game as well. Like I said, the total as well, with it going the way it is in the public betting the under, I can't help but think that people are looking at both these teams and how they played Iowa. That is the common opponent they have, and that's never a great way to handicap a game, saying, okay, this team beat that team by this much, or they beat that team by this much, so this is how the result should be. But Michigan squeaked by Iowa in a very low scoring game, and Penn State, same thing, a very low scoring game with Iowa. So I just kind of get the feeling that people are looking into that. And again, with just the typical mindset of these teams playing smash ball football and running the ball a lot.
All right. So we transition over to the NFL side here, looking at the Sunday card. And usually when you send me these games, they're in rotation order. So I apologize if this isn't the game, but I see at the top of the list here, I don't know if this is supposed to be Arizona or Atlanta. So I guess we can go ahead and talk about game 451, 452 anyway. And if it's not that, then we'll touch on Atlanta further down the line. But this first game on the board here for Sunday, I think is interesting because you've got two teams that really aren't very attractive to back, but the Giants look a lot healthier coming off the extra rest.
Yeah, this actually wasn't the game. You can slap my wrist for that. Yeah, I put this out of order. That was Atlanta where the sharp money came in. But yeah, it's interesting this game. Like, I don't know. I mean, you just kind of get the feeling that Arizona is one of those teams that, and kind of preseason was the way that the public was kind of getting behind. Once the season started, they were going against Arizona kind of consistently. Now, I mean, the Cardinals are playing decent football, it seems, yet this number's gone from 1 all the way to 3 right now. So, NFL-wise, that's a pretty big move from 1 right on the key number 3. I don't see us moving off this from, just just from where it came from and judging where the market is right now. I do have a, you know, wager count favoring the Giants as well of about 3-1, which just kind of surprises me because, you know, I don't think either of these teams is very good defensively. So this number probably in terms of the total might, tick up. It did open at 50. We're 50.5 right now. I could see that kind of trending upward as well. Count on the total is about 3-1 as well. So a strong count going towards the over on this game. Don't have sharp money on this one, but yeah, I mean, kind of substantial move for these two. I'm just going to say two bad teams.
All right. Well, we jumped down to game 455, 456 here. One bad team, one team that looks to be pretty decent here. Miami and Buffalo, big number, lowish total.
Yeah, it's interesting with this Buffalo team because if you think about the NFL right now in terms of who's, you know, who the good teams are, like you say, you know, this team is definitely good and stuff like that. I mean, the NFC East, you got, you know, your two leaders are 3-3. Green Bay looks good at 5-1. Although you kind of feel bad for Detroit. They lost the way they lost. And Minnesota's looking good. I mean, I think New Orleans, I guess if you figure when they get, when they get Breeze back, they'll be strong. And San Francisco, I mean, I don't know. Are they as good as they are right now at 5-0? Maybe not that good, but they definitely do look like a good team. And Seattle, I mean, they kind of sneaky sitting at 5-1. It's like, how does Seattle get there? And beyond that, I mean, Houston's not a convincing 4-2 with the defense they have. I would say the same thing about Kansas City, the injuries in the defense they have sitting at 4-2. So it's very kind of, a strange season so far in that, like, you look at Buffalo, the kind of sneaky, they're like, they might be one of the better teams, and they got one of the best defenses I would think out there. And obviously New England's been fantastic, but all that aside, talking about Buffalo's defense, sharp money on the over this game. We're at 41 right now. Sharp money came in on this one at 39.5. I've also got a count favoring the under, which again, with Miami's offense, probably not surprising. With the reputation of Buffalo's defense, probably not surprising. So a strange one again. I talked about before in college football with Penn State. Usually you don't get, you know, public money involved in unders, but I guess kind of when things seem so obvious, they definitely trend that way. So I've got a count towards the under of about 2-1 in this game with Miami and Buffalo. Yet the total has gone up 1.5. From 39.5 up to 41 where we are right now. Side, there hasn't been a whole lot of movement on the side. I do have a count favoring Miami, but just nothing worth moving off. It's about a 3-1 count favoring Miami, but not a ton of money involved in this game yet other than total play.
Yeah, I was even kind of looking from a contest standpoint. I don't like the NFL card this week at all. I was kind of thinking about laying the Buffalo number at 17 just because I don't know how Miami scores, but seeing some sharp action on that over, maybe a little bit of cause for concern there on my end. We moved down one game here, 457, 458, Minnesota and Detroit. Another total with sharp action. A lot of totals here on today's segment, but first we'll talk about what's going on with the sides too.
Yeah, definitely have more total action in terms of the sharp involvement this week. And, you know, perhaps you're sharp yourself, Adam, seeing as though you struggled with picking a side for your contest this week. Maybe the sharps are having trouble picking a side as well. So you've aligned yourself well in that regard.
Yeah, I got to start. I could pick totals. I like my totals this week.
I was literally laughing out loud. I shouldn't have done that. Sharp money here on this game is on the total here on the under. It's tipped down 1.5 as well from the 45 where I got bet by sharp money. So I have sharp money on the under 45. We're sitting at 43.5. The number, again, on the side, this has flip-flopped on the spread. You went from a small favorite of Detroit, -1, down to, up to, if you want to call it, to Minnesota -2 on the road right now. So that's where we are on the side. Looking at my count here, it's not bad, really. I mean, it kind of looks like it's just been public money going the other way with Minnesota. I do have a count of close to 3-1 with Minnesota. I don't know, you talk about teams who kind of you might be sneaky good. Detroit, man, I mean, they seem like a decent side. I wouldn't be surprised if this number came back down. If it went up to 2.5 on Minnesota, I think that just be a night, you know, might be enough to get sharp money involved on the home dog there. Detroit kind of like snake bitten, I guess. I mean, they kind of ran all over Kansas City. I think they lost that game, and last week they looked really good against Green Bay as well. So I mean, Detroit's, you know, sitting at 2-2-1, and you figure they could easily be 3-1-1 or even better than that. But the under is where the sharp money came on this one, under 45. And again, kind of playing into that as our defense did look very good last week as well.
All right, so we go to game 463, 464 here, Rams and Falcons. And, one of the reasons why I'm having difficulty with this NFL card is I feel like there are a lot of teams going up against each other that I just don't really want to back. This is one of those games, but, you know, sharp bettors are a lot smarter than me.
Well, I mean, the Rams, it's like, I'm literally at a loss for words trying to figure them out. I mean, you're talking about the team they had last year and where they are now, sitting at 3-3. They started out great. They've lost three in a row now. Their defense just doesn't look good. I hear from people who I respect talking about Goff and say he's just not that good of a quarterback, how much he depends on their coaching staff and stuff like that. Another kind of, you know, narrative maybe playing into this one is the home and road splits with Goff as well. I think they're well documented that his road splits versus home wins are very, very different. He's just not that good on the road. The Rams too, they've made a couple of trades recently to shore up their offensive line and on defense as well. We'll see, you know, how that goes. But Rams, I think so far just been a disappointment. Talk about disappointment. I think Atlanta obviously is a disappointment as well, sitting at 1-5, so they're not a whole lot better. But the home side getting +3 even money is where the sharps came in on this game. I've got a wager count about 3-1 favoring the Rams as well. So this is one of those definite public and sharp splits. No surprise at all that the public is still betting the Rams, and they haven't got off them. They're still kind of the hangover, I guess you will, from last season. You still get the impression that, you know, they can put up points whenever they want to. But for me, it's just that defense doesn't look very good at all. Atlanta has a whole lot of success throwing the ball and throwing the ball deep. So I think they might expose the Rams as well. So this is one of those ones where getting the Rams +3 even money like the sharps did, I could definitely get behind that, even though they have lost four in a row. So this one, way things are shaping up, is definitely going to be a sharp public split with the sharp money on Atlanta +3 and public all over the Rams. Total wise, haven't seen not sharp money involved, just public money going with the over, which is no surprise. Open here at 53 up to 54 and a half now.
Do you see 2.5 here? I mean, is that a possibility, or are you going to be able to hold on 3?
No, I think we're going to be able to hold on 3. I mean, if, you know, I hate to go from, you know, off the number down to 2.5, and then even at 2.5, you'd have to put some juice on it. So I think we'll just stick to the 3 where we are right now. We are 3, dog 15. If push comes to shove, we'll go the other way. But I think the sharps spoke with Atlanta already, and the difference between, you know, laying 120 and even money on Atlanta obviously is quite big in terms of the sharps, and that's quite a gulf in terms of your break even point. So I think this number is going to hang where it is. And like I said, I do have a count about 3-1 the other way in favor of the Rams from the public. So I think that's going to continue.
Well, and I think another tough thing for me with regards to contests here this week is that there are so many of these games hovering around key numbers. And we've got another one here, 469, 470, Baltimore and Seattle, 3 with juice. Some places still trying to hold that 3.5. It's the sharp action on the total that you and I are going to talk about. But just in general, a lot of games on key numbers, varying juice, some hooks, some non-hooks. It's a tough week, I think, overall. And it's got to be interesting trying to balance action on all these key numbers too.
Yeah, and, you know, it's one of those weeks though. Even though, you know, I guess there are some interesting games out there. I mean, I could say, okay, Arizona and the Giants, that's an interesting game, but it's not an attractive, sexy game. But it's an interesting game in terms of how evenly matched those teams probably are. Houston and the Colts is another one. You've got Houston on the road at Indianapolis, where that line flipped from Houston -1 to the Colts -1 now. So, you know, a lot of kind of subtle movement like that around in terms of the sides. And this game here is one of the, you know, if you want to talk about marquee games in NFL, this is kind of a real big game with Seattle, the sneaky 5-1 Seahawks at home to Baltimore at 4-2. The count on the over is probably no surprise at all of 3-1. So I got a strong count favoring the over. Yet if you see that opening number on this game was 50.5, down to 48.5 right now. So that's an indication that the sharp money is on the under. I did get bet by sharp money here on the under 50.5. So my sharp money is kind of gone where the market has as well. And again, you know, you don't look often for sharp and public splits on totals like this, but it's nice when you find them in the NFL. No surprise with the Seattle offense and the Baltimore offense that the public is going over on this one. Again, a count of 3-1, yet the number's gone from 50.5 down to 48.5, a full 2 points. Side-wise, not a ton of movement, really. It's kind of like 3.5 dog 15 or, you know, 3-120 where we are right now. Count on the side is pretty much dead even.
All right, one more game to touch on here in the NFL, and we call this the chase game sometimes, the late game, whether it's college football or the NFL. Massive handle coming on game 473, 474, Philadelphia and Dallas. Sharp action, what we'll talk about on the total here, But again, this is an interesting one because it has moved off the key number of three relatively early in the process here as we're recording on Thursday evening.
Yeah, it's interesting with this one too. I mean, people definitely, there's the whole, you know, a team's as good as bad, or, you know, never as good as bad as their best or worst performance. And Dallas, they started out obviously so good and looked fantastic. And maybe that was a bit artificial. Now they've kind of, I guess you could say, come crashing down to earth, having lost, I think, three in a row now, sitting at 3-3. Philadelphia now 3-3 as well. So basically you're saying that these teams are pretty well evenly matched, and home field is what's kind of separating the number here. Most places are sitting at 2.5 minus 115 on Dallas, or maybe three dog 25 and stuff like that. So it is hovering around that number. I expect it to be that way pretty much, you know, up until kickoff. I just can't see this one going much, you know, much any other way. I do have a count public wise also favoring Philadelphia. So it's interesting, like Philadelphia, you know, both of these teams are sitting at 3-3, but I guess Dallas, kind of just the way they performed recently, you've kind of got that ugly in your mind, and the public has that mindset that that's what, you know, reflected in the bet count of 4-1 favoring Philadelphia. So it's quite a strong, you know, count, I think, favoring Philadelphia in terms of the fact that they're both teams are 3-3 and you got Dallas at home. So be interesting to see how this one shapes up closer to kickoff. Unfortunately here, I've got one of those cases where I got the public money and the sharp money going the same way on the total nest towards the over. This one opened here at 48, and I got bet right away on the over 48, sitting at 49 right now. So I'm just, you know, just the one point move with the market from the 48 to 48 and a half up to 49 where we are right now. My count towards the over, no surprise, is about 4-1 towards the over. So that's kind of no surprise as well. And again, with this game kind of, you know, being the last game of the week, Sunday night, I expect the trend to follow in terms of the over money. So I'll probably stay at, you know, maybe a half point higher than the market on, you know, on Sunday, just trying to see if I can fish for some money back the other way. No real exposure, though, going from 48 to 49 where we are right now.
Well, a lot of games here, a lot of good insights, a lot of interesting stuff, as always, on this segment, The Odds Report with Brent from DSI Sportsbook. Brent, we appreciate your time, as always, man. Thank you so much for joining me. We'll talk to you again next week.
Pleasure speaking with you, Adam. Thank you.
All right, there you go. There was Brent from DSI Sportsbook with this week's version of the Odds Report. Again, sharp money out there in both the college football and the NFL betting markets. Coming up on our Monday edition of Bang the Book Radio, we'll chat with professional handicapper Kyle Hunter of huntersportspicks.com with our Week 9 college football first look. A lot of things to talk about on the college side coming out of Week 8. And also, we're getting to that point in time where you may want to look at those bad teams, those teams that aren't going to bowl games, making switches to underclassmen at key positions, all that type of stuff. We'll have some regression stats for you, some injury updates, and, of course, game breakdowns of the weeknight matchups. Well, that'll do it for me. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Have a happy, healthy, smart, safe weekend, and I will talk to you again on Monday.